Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hej alla mother lovers och välkomna ska ni vara till Föräldrarapporten, podden för oss som älskar våra barn och tycker att det är svårt att vara föräldrar. Podden är även för er andra som inte har barn och jag älskar att även ni vill lyssna. I dagens avsnitt så har jag med mig min mexikanska granne Laura och vi pratar om mexikanskt föräldraskap, även om det är en ganska bred term eftersom att det ju bor 130 miljoner människor i Mexiko. Jag är lite tvek till om det här avsnittet egentligen borde släppas. Det är så svårt när svenska poddar gör avsnitt på engelska tycker jag. Det blir lätt lite sövande för att, ja, jag vet inte, det går inte riktigt att ha samma energi och känsla på ett annat språk. Men jag, dels så har jag inga avsnitt kvar, jag måste spela in massa när jag kommer hem till Sverige om någon vecka. Men också så tycker jag att det är ett väldigt intressant ämne att prata om hur olika länder, hur kulturen kring föräldraskap är. Så att jag tänker att det får gå och jag hoppas att ni kan stå ut med att lyssna på det. Och ni får också jättegärna ge mig ärlig feedback. Som sagt, det är knepigt. Jag är själv lite tveksam. En presentation då av Laura för att ni ska få lite kontext är att hon är 37 år gammal och hennes man Alejandro är 48 år och tillsammans har de två barn som är 6 och 3 år gammal. I avsnittet så pratar vi om området som vi bor i och då kan jag säga till er att det är ett gated community, det är en grind som är liksom, sluter in hela området och innanför det här området finns det kanske 400 små radhus, alla hus ser likadana ut, de är typ 40 kvadrat och så är det en undervåning och en övervåning. Och sen inom det här stora gated communityt så finns det ytterligare 4 mindre områden där det är ytterligare en grind. Och varje person som ska in här, bil och gångare, alla måste ha en giltig anledning att få röra sig här. Som till exempel vi ska beställa en taxi, då måste vi gå till grinden och säga nu har vi beställt en taxi, den kommer om 15 minuter. Och då så ringer den här grinden i sin tur vidare till yttergrinden och säger nu har de här som bor i det här huset, en taxi som kommer och den kommer om 15 minuter. Och ja, vi har en pool. Det har inte de andra områdena här i, verkar det som. Och jag är väldigt tacksam för det. Jag tycker att vi drog vinstlotten som har en pool. Men då vet ni hur det ser ut eftersom att vi berör det lite grann. Först, innan vi kör inspelningen med Laura så blir det en liten dagbok. Och sen hoppas jag som sagt att ni tycker att det är helt okej, kul i alla fall. Det är fredag runt lunch och vi har knappt 2 veckor kvar och bara en vecka kvar på det här boendet vi har nu. Thank fucking god, jag är så jävla trött på det här rövhålet så att, ja, det blir bra. Men, jo, Hedda är ju ganska, jag tror, jag känner inte jättemånga andra barn i hennes ålder på den nivån, men jag tror att hon ändå är hyfsat snabb med språk. Och varje dag så lär jag henne lite några spanska ord, vilket är skitgulligt. Här får ni höra. Hedda? Hedda? Vad heter mjölk på spanska?
Leche.
Leche. Vad heter bord på spanska?
Mesa.
Ja. Och vad heter katt på spanska?
Gato.
Du är så duktig.
Gato.
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 Gato. Och det här är såklart jätteroligt och jag är jättestolt. Men jag vill också vara tydlig med att vi har gjort absolut noll för att förtjäna det här. För jag vet ju att jag själv i början var så himla orolig. Åh, vad har vi gjort för att förtjäna att Hedda var så här jobbig? Eller liksom, åh, är det någonting vi gör som är fel som gör att hon inte vet jag. Hon var ju hyfsat sen med att gå och så. Och då så, det är någonstans befriande att... jag vet att jag inte har någon förtjänst i att hon bara snackar på som en liten dåre. Utan att det bara är för att hon... Det var så hon råkade vara. Det är söndag och snart åker vi hem. Och jag säger det varje gång, men nu känns det verkligen som att det är väldigt snart. En sak som jag hoppas ta med mig hem är den lite mer chilla inställningen jag har till föräldraskapet efter att ha varit i Mexiko. Till exempel så får hon ju smaka av våra sötade drycker ibland när vi är ute på restaurang. Och jag tycker inte att det är världens grej hemma heller, men jag blir påverkad av normer och väldigt mycket fokus på hälsa. Och sen så en annan sak är ju att här har vi åkt bil utan bilbarnstol och det vill jag ju inte göra egentligen. Men det känns ändå skönt att ha lite så här: okej, vi gör det här som vi vet är dåligt någon gång då och då. Jag vill inte just åka utan bilbarnstol. Hemma skulle jag ju till och med bli anmäld för att det är ju olagligt. Men ni fattar, det är skönt att ha lite av den mer lättsamma inställningen på något sätt. Mami, mamacita, alla mina blickar då mitt. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good, and I'm so honored that you are open to talking to me. Before, when we spoke off the record, I described to you what I think Swedish parenthood is like. And I said it's lonely, it's quite safe, we compare each other quite much. How would you describe Mexican motherhood? And I'm also going to say that I know that Mexico is a very big country and that there are so many individuals and that you can't speak for everyone. But just from your heart, how would you describe Mexican motherhood?
If you're not working, you don't get that to go to a free hospital because you're not working.
Oh, okay.
So if you're not working, you don't get to have like simple things like healthy insurance or dentist or like things, right?
I
or
see.
Schools or private like little cares, like you don't get those. You have to work
okay.
So you can get those.
I told you that we have 1 year free paid parental leave. What is it like here?
Well, it's 3 months.
3 months.
So you get to decide if you get like home. Well, actually, you don't get to decide as a decision.
No.
So you like start like doing your counts. So you can maybe leave a little bit earlier. So you can start like to relax and to
when
like,
you're pregnant.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then have the baby. And then, yeah, that 2 months and a half or 3 months
okay.
can be like in your... In your house.
Is that for everyone or is it the ones that you said that are employed?
Just for the employed.
Just for the employed.
Yeah, because a homestay mom doesn't get anything at all.
Okay.
So she has to like purchase the hospital, the complete package and by herself.
Yeah. I've been thinking that I about the extremes because here this area where we are in feels quite wealthy and like at least upper middle class. But then I'm also or is that correct
yeah,
here?
It's practically how Mexico goes. There's no like well you're gonna see like upper like situation
yeah.
wealthy,
mm-hmm.
but practically Mexico the, even the little bit more upscale areas.
Yeah.
Are like medium. There's no like that very like here at least in Mexico
okay.
City you get to see it a little bit more
okay.
but here it goes like a little
pretty
bit more, yeah
quite even.
Or like very.
Yeah because I was thinking about the mothers I've seen that carry two kids around and they sell bracelets on the touristy streets and those I guess are having a quite hard situation
yeah very
and they don't even get to have their kid in a hospital?
Not even in a hospital, or they don't go to school,
oh
or
God.
They don't have, like a regular attention, of medical attention. Like, you know, like the first year you go every month,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
after the
uh-huh.
year you go every year, and then you go to dental.
Okay.
No, they don't. I believe that they don't even know what a baby doctor is, or something like that.
Jesus.
Or a house, you know, even... Some of them, they live in very precarious, like, places and, like, with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
Och med skola menar alltså Laura ett ställe som barnen kan komma in på redan vid 3 månaders ålder. Vi kommer in på det lite senare, men det verkar alltså som att bara de som jobbar och är anställda har rätt till sånt som vi i Sverige ser som en självklarhet. Det här är ett samarbete med Hey Kiddo och just det här meddelandet riktar sig till alla er som är som min kompis Ami. Ami är 35 år. Hon har en son på nästan 1 år. Ami har varit ihop med sonens pappa Raffa i nästan 5 år. Och innan barn så var de ute minst en gång i veckan. De drack mycket kvalitetsvin, åt goda middagar och njöt för att de hade en sån himla härlig dink-stil. Dink, undrar ni, det är så här double income, no kid. De bor i Stockholm. Sen fick Ami barn. Barnet är underbart, men lite av det här dinklivet försvann och det var ju inte så konstigt, men de saknar det. Amis familj bor 3 timmar bort och Raffas familj bor hela vägen i Tyskland. De har alltså svårt att få hjälp med barnvakt regelbundet. De skulle kanske kunna fråga några kompisar om hjälp, men det känns inte helt bekvämt. De flesta, likt Amis kompis Amanda, alltså jag, är upptagna med sitt egna familjeliv. Ami och hennes sambo Raffa känner att de gärna skulle återta en del av sitt dinkliv. Det skulle göra dem gott både på ett personligt och relationellt plan. Det behöver inte ske lika ofta som förr, men någon gång då och då, kanske varannan vecka. Hur gör Ami? Jo, hon går in på heykiddo.se. Hon känner en värme sprida sig i kroppen när hon läser följande. Hey Kiddos barnvakter är noggrant utvalda, kontrollerade och säkerhetsutbildade för att garantera både trygghet och hängivenhet. Vi vill att våra nannies ska erbjuda mer än bara säker barnpassning. Vi vill aktivera barnen och göra passen minnesvärda genom roliga aktiviteter. Vi föredrar bakning, fotboll och kurragömma framför passiv barnpassning med barnen framför en iPad. Ami känner, wow, det här måste jag ha, och skickar direkt in en förfrågan om att få regelbunden hjälp med barnpassning av sin lilla plutt. Därefter hör Hey Kiddo av sig för att se till att Amis familj får den barnvakt som passar just dem. Ami är förstås väldigt noga med att ange rabattkoden Amanda3 på heykiddo.se, för då får hon 3 timmars kostnadsfri barnpassning. Det passar Ami jättebra. Hon är ny kund och hon har inte kombinerat detta erbjudande med något annat. Tack, Hey Kiddo.
But then when your parental leave, those 3 months are over, what do?
You go back. You have to manage yourself to get your baby into a school that sometimes there's not even like enough space, because here, at least in this state, there would be like, I don't know, known like 3 places where you can have your baby by like no charge at all, because they're governmental, but you're gonna be in a wait list because everyone needs it.
Yeah.
So, and there are no like, that's between us, they're not like very like the nicest places.
Nah.
So every, and the schedule gets complicated. So it happens to be that, oh, you're gonna be a mommy, let's make it like super complicated.
Laura nämner de här 3 statligt finansierade så kallade skolorna. Och jag frågade henne om man inte då är anställd utan själv måste betala. Vad kostar det? Och då var det någonstans mellan 2000 och 4000 pesos i månaden. Vilket är ganska mycket. Lönen här skiljer sig skitmycket åt, verkar det som. Men när vi har sett annonser på gatorna så verkar det som att så här, ja, men folk som jobbar på tvättstugor eller på restauranger, de tjänar kanske 8000 pesos i månaden. Och då är ju 4000 alltså hälften av den inkomsten, vilket blir väldigt, väldigt dyrt såklart.
But how did you manage then? Did you put it in the babies in a private place, or could you stay home because your husband could bring in money?
No,
or how did
I
you
did
solve?
Something like a little bit crazy, because and I say crazy because everyone here was like staring at me all the time, because when I became a mother, I had a very good job here, and it was a very well paid. And my husband had a restaurant in close to, you know, the Fifth Avenue, close to it. So it wasn't that bad, but sometimes we get to pay more into the restaurant than coming from the restaurant, right? And we were just the 2 of us, and it was fine. Yeah. I had a very good job. I supported him. But then when you become a parent, you start thinking, well, I don't have to pay a restaurant that much because now we're going to have a kid, right?
Yeah.
So the money that I used to support the restaurant, now I want to support my own
yes.
activity, right? So we spoke and we said, like, now I'm very well. So why don't you come out, you sell the restaurant, and then you become the mommy. And
uh-huh.
he stayed home for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that was not what I expected.
I
mean, me and my, he's not my husband, but my boyfriend, we've also been, we've been sharing. But I understand that's very rare here. How did you feel about it?
At the beginning, how I told you, it was like, okay, I don't know what my mother's gonna think or his mother, that I told you that. My parents, they're not that judgmental, but the complete like area it is, right? So I was like, okay, whatever. It's my situation, it's my family.
Yeah.
So I did it. And I felt like so good because I was like super mommy, but it was the guilt. There it comes that my baby, it's not with me. I should be having the best moments of her life, like with her.
Did he feel emasculated because he was the one who had to stay home?
I believe maybe at the beginning we haven't think about that much because we didn't even have time, right?
Nah.
So when I started pregnant, he did like some like works like of the record with his very good friend. He's a Canadian. He helped a lot.
Okay.
Like, because they had a little company that do groups all over the world for Canadians practically.
Okay.
So he started working a little bit for him. So he had something out of the record like in the meantime that the baby was born. But then when the baby came, everything, he stopped everything completely because, you know, he's a very good dad. I can say whatever about the love, but he's a very good dad. You can't imagine. So that's been really, really helpful.
Yeah,
how into the business he is, right? So he's like changing diapers. Here, it's not that common that daddies
change diapers
or going to the pool by themselves.
We just bought a new bag of diapers and it had this text like, if no one has told you, mommy, you're doing a great job. And that in Sweden would like cause a rage because it's so important. People are so...
Where's daddy?
Yeah, exactly. People would be like, how can you write that it's just the moms that are changing diapers? It's also, I think it's good because I really think it's good to share. But also people can get very, very, very upset. They would like cancel the company and like just write them on Facebook and write them on Instagram. How can you write this? But he changed diapers and that's very rare for a man
and
to do in Mexico.
Very. Mm-hmm. He was very upset like the first year because in the restaurants or places there's no bathroom
for men to change.
For them to change.
Yeah.
So and he get to get a little baby into nothing and practically in outside in his legs because there's no place
the
to change.
Yeah.
No, because he didn't want her to be there.
No.
He was like, no, I'm not gonna do my baby here. So he go outside the restroom and I don't care, a table or something. So you can learn that there's nothing for a daddy to change. And not because, oh, come on, you do it. No, because maybe I wasn't around or something. So that's the beginning. So you can tell and know. So how, like, everyone is, like, so used to that the mommy has to
do everything.
Why? And what if the mommy needs to work?
Yeah.
And I say need because sometimes we really need it.
Of course. Both for just getting out of house and getting a break, but also to have been able to pay for the house and everything. Här kommer vi in på hur det funkar när man går tillbaka till jobbet och sen om man då vill fortsätta amma, vilket ju många vill göra efter 3 månader och man kanske behöver pumpa. I Sverige är det som sagt lagstadgat och jag tror att man till och med har rätt att liksom gå på amningspauser om man nu har möjlighet att möta upp barnet. Jag förstår inte riktigt hur det skulle gå till i praktiken och jag har aldrig hört någon göra det här, men ändå. Det är ju verkligen att ha lagen på sin sida i en sån fråga är ju väldigt stort.
Like with this situation that I'm going to tell you that it's, I believe that there's nothing worse than a woman against a mother.
Okay.
It's like, it's bad, you know, because I had all these colleagues, some of them mothers that it's worst. And they were so upset and they were so mean.
Because you had to pump.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, did you pump?
Yes. Because also, as I told you, she was premature.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had to pump to get it started. I pumped for like 2 months. It was horrible.
So there's a moment that your boobies can't...
You it hurts so
like,
much.
Yeah, your bra gets like he has something against you, right? Mm-hmm. So it hurts. Mm-hmm. And if you're with people, I was working at that hotel. So I was with people all the time. So you're ashamed that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to see. And if that happens, you have to go and change you know.
So it's better to pump.
Totally.
Yeah. Yes,
so
I agree.
They don't get to understand. I did a completely revolution. If that hotel is listening, you were bad. So I did practically a revolution because first, when I was pregnant, they didn't want me to have lunch first because, it's not fair for the rest. And I was like, yeah, but I have someone inside.
Yeah.
I need to go lunch like now.
Why didn't they want you
because
to go?
Because it's not my time. And uh-huh. someone is before me.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot. And, you know, it's like, so I started doing like this revolutionary thing. Like, I have to have lunch.
Yeah.
And the chef, he was it was a man.
Uh-huh.
He was like, yeah, come. I told that you just come knock my door. The main chef of the whole hotel. You come and knock my door and I feed you and he
Aww.
And her, you know?
Mm.
And that's like, wow.
Mm.
And then that's the beginning. So then I had the baby and I had the pretty thing that I had together my holidays with the mother leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I get 7 more days. Woohoo!
Ooh, yeah.
So after I came back. And then there was like, it's your lunch or the pumping time. And I was like,
I really had to choose.
No, you really? You're kidding me, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's lunch or your pumping time. And I was like, no, you're mad, out of your mind. So I had to pack a lunch for myself to go to a bathroom to have lunch for pumping. So, and I was again, no pumping space. There's no pumping space. So I went to human resources and this is not good.
No.
So they made that like a little office like down the hotel.
Yeah.
So you can have 15 minutes so you can pump.
Oh, wow.
And by yourself. So I used to like put my cell phone like in my boobies practically so I can have like a little picture.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I believe in... If you're seeing your baby, you get like all these hormones. And
yes, I was
going
to
so
say that because
faster.
It's also hard to get the milk going if you're stressed.
So I was like, and then my husband did this thing. So we're going to call you in the meantime and you're going to see her and you're going to, you know, and she's going to like listen to you and feel like comfortable enough so I can like be with her and feed her as well.
Mm.
So they saw my cell phone and got me
your bosses.
A strike. Yeah, because you can have a cell phone.
No.
You can see your baby. It's 8 hours here without your baby. How are we going to understand that?
No.
So, you're now a lady that has to work.
Oh, my God.
So, stop it. So, the only thing that I get, it's like 15 minutes for lunch, 15 minutes for pumping. And then I get to leave 30 minutes before. So, 7 hours and a half. So, I can see now my baby.
Wow. And how long did you do that for?
I just stayed there like for... maybe 3 months more. And I was like,
I'm done.
These are not conditions. I'm really sorry. So I'm leaving.
Good.
So I left and no hotels for me.
No.
Because it's not nice.
No.
Someone that doesn't take care of you, how would they pretend that you're going to take care of something there?
And that's also so inhuman. Like, it's better to just treat your employees good and then they want to stay. They want to do a good job.
That's me.
Rather than punishing them.
That's totally me. I would always say, and even if you don't have babies. So there's this person. I want a free day, my off day on that day because it's my birthday or my cat's birthday.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that makes you happy. Mm. Go ahead.
Because
then you're going to come back and be the
best self. You spoke about the places where you leave your kids when they're 3 months old. So then they just leave the kids into like a daycare center that young?
Yeah.
Wow. And then they get formula to eat? Or what do they eat when they're so little?
Well, in my case, he stayed with the baby 1 year.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, those do have to leave.
With the other ones. I didn't. But after the the year she went to school because he needed to go back. We needed a little bit more cash. Mm. So what I did is that I breastfeed before and after she...
But I mean, those that don't have the partner staying
places,
home.
Very few places that they allow you to leave the little bottles with your breast.
Yeah.
But they start like, oh, it's not enough. You have to do some formula. Oh, it's maybe half and half. Uh-huh. So they start like to messing with your mind. Uh-huh. So you can have what it's convenient for them. I know having a crying baby, it's rough. Mm. So they prefer
to
have.
So they just
want to
feed
them. Of course.
Even
though you don't use formula, when you go into a school, not all of them, but they ask you a bottle of formula and whatever you want to feed her. Mm-hmm. But I don't do formula. Yeah, but it's mandatory. You need to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't breastfeed. Yeah, but just in case. Mm-hmm. Just in case I don't want to. No, just in case something happens.
I see. Yeah, but I would, like, leaving the 3 months old to a stranger, I would, that must be so, so hard.
And even though it's a place where you get very well, I believe, I stayed in one, but she was old. But I saw they're clean enough. It's not that bad, as you can imagine.
Okay.
However, the whole situation of being with a stranger, something rough. And the ladies, they're not that warm, you know?
Okay,
and how warm could you be with a stranger baby?
Yeah, no? with so many of them,
exactly.
I guess. Här frågade jag henne lite om hur hon tänkte med barnvakt. Men hon sa att hon inte vågade anlita det för att hon har hört för mycket om att barnen blir kidnappade i Mexiko. Och... ja, det kan man ju förstå då om det finns en sån risk att man inte vågar. Sen så min fördom om latinamerikanska och centralamerikanska länder är kanske att man bor mer i en stor familj. Lauras familj bor ganska långt ifrån henne så att där går det inte. Men vi börjar prata om hur de andra gör.
Mexico, I would say maybe Latin America, but Mexico specifically, and I live in Mexico, I know about that. They get this situation that they leave the babies with the parents. Like all the time, a lot of time.
With the grandparents.
With the grandmas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a little bit more seen than anything else, even more than daycares.
Okay. And that's more common to leave the kid with.
Totally common. Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would say here, 90%.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. But that's good if you have the opportunity. Seems like the best option, no?
Well, instead of a daycare, yes.
Yeah, that's
but not instead of you.
No, that's what I
meant. And I know a lot of people that they do it instead of you.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's not that nice.
No. But do the grandparents, they don't work or how can
no.
they?
Okay. Sometimes here in Mexico, after you accomplish certain age, like 65, I believe.
Yeah.
You get...
pension.
Yeah.
Same
as all those age. Days. Mm. Now my generation won't have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they stop it. They quit it.
So no pension at all.
So I'm gonna have to work a lot so I can earn some money and start like.
Oh my god!
Saving.
I know we're gonna raise the age like to. I think now they're speaking about 67, but still no pension at all. So you have to work until you get 100, or you have to get super much money when you're young. Whoa. one thing: is it allowed to hit children? To
no.
slap them? No?
Allowed how? Like
by law. In Sweden, it's forbidden by law.
It's forbidden as well.
Oh, okay.
Everyone does.
You do it?
No.
No?
It's a practice that should be like stopped, like mandatory.
Yeah.
Here, the common sense goes like there's a place that it's called DIF.
Uh-huh.
That it's a regional thing. Governmental as well. That if someone sees striking a kid or doing not that parental... thing,
uh-huh.
They take the kids and you go to jail. Okay.
Jag frågade henne lite om egen tid, vad hon brukar göra på fritiden och så här svarade hon.
I have one single friend here, no kids, and she's divine. She's a very every time that I cry or I do, I need you, she's there, and I know she's there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you get this feeling that what would I have to say or to like, no.
What do you mean?
Yeah, because sometimes my style is totally different now.
Yeah.
We met when I wasn't a mother.
Yeah,
so
I know. It's different lifestyles, of course.
Yeah, and she's, and I have her, I follow her on Instagram, and she's like, even though she doesn't seem, she's not like very like party girl, so her life is completely different.
Yeah, she...
And mothers here, they're different from me. So I've been like trying to do these memories for my kids, right? So I maybe don't have a Tesla and don't have like super three Airbnbs that I own and everything, but I'm trying to make memories for them. So that is very important for me. So if you would ask me now, I'd rather having those special moments for them than being like something or I don't know.
Yeah. But that's, but do you, because I'm a very outgoing person, and already after 3 weeks with just my boyfriend and with my daughter, I'm like, I need to meet some people. But do you feel lonely, or are you okay with that?
Yeah, I feel lonely enough, but I think I've made my own resources to avoid that loneliness.
Mm.
For example, I do a lot of pictures, and I'm comfortable on my own.
Okay.
I'm very more than comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's the situation.
Mm.
And he's, as you, my husband, mm-hmm. he's the other side. He doesn't seem like, but he's like very like, he misses a lot his friends. And I go like, go, there's no problem.
Yeah.
No, but kids. And at the end, so we end the whole like bathing and he ends like...
Oh, okay. So in the night, he's exhausted anyways. Yeah. And also, these are the questions from my followers. We're coming to the end. There was actually a Mexican woman who asked this. She lives in Sweden, and she had her kid in Sweden with a Swedish man. But she asked, like, do they have a routine for how to put kids to bed? Because in Sweden, we talk so much about routines. That is so important. Do you do a special routine?
Mexicans don't practice. Know them that much.
Okay.
I used to live in New York a while, I'll tell you. And I learned a few things from my mother when she was there. People there is like very, well, where we were, they're healthy. And it's a place like this, actually. It's very calm, quiet enough. And there's a lot of outing. And I totally sympathize with their routines. I actually myself wouldn't work without them.
No.
Not that specific that, oh, 6 p.m. and it's like no more. No, because I have to be flexible because my work, it's flexible enough, no? But, for example, the ones that are very like we need to accomplish them or otherwise we don't work very good, it's like sleep and like food.
Mm.
Like we don't skip those.
No.
But the others, it's like, well, bath time can be like maybe instead of 6 at 7 or so. I try to go along with the day, but sleep, it's a sleepy time, 8 p.m. Otherwise, we're going to be mental, it's not going to be good because they need their sleep. I am very, very, very strong with the sleep because I believe that their brain needs their rest.
And also, last question pretty much, is it common to have cesareans?
Yes, here in Mexico it is. It's practically, I wouldn't say mandatory, but... My obstetrician told me that she's very well known because she respects your decision, no? But not everyone here. So,
but is it so? You would say it's more common with cesareans than
very
you?
Much common.
Why is that?
Because you want my personal or there?
Both.
My personal, it's because they think that cesarean 30 minutes in Europe smoking outside the doctor, and you're like. No?
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
The doctors, I believe, they're not very well trained to go for a complicated situation, no? In Mexico, there's not good health departments. So I would say that they have two strings like in the, cesarean. No, I've learned from a doula that it can be, but it has to work by the doctor. Mm-hmm. And I believe that doctors believe that it's low risk.
Mm.
So if they think that the fetus is like complicated,
they
health,
say we do a cesarean.
Come on, we don't even think it or try it or make you like pain.
Mm.
But pain is necessary sometimes. Yeah. So
was your birth cesarean or vaginal?
It was vaginal, both of them. So it hurts us. Do you had one?
No, because she came too early. Oh, she had to get out.
So it hurts us.
Yeah.
Nothing in life. No. But I wanted it.
Yeah.
At first I was saying, oh yes, with no epidural.
Yeah.
No, like, oh, no, give it all. Because it's complicated. It hurts, and it's like, and I learned that all the things that the babies carry through there, it's good for them as too. And actually your body seems to be like for that, no? Mm. But I don't believe you're a better mother or whatever if you do it one or the other, or even if breastfeed worked or so. But it's less expensive.
Mm.
And it's less work after. So if you had a cesarean, you have to be like careful and like even
no caring
and that. But as well, I believe whatever it's good for your body, it's going to be good for the baby and good for everyone. So,
right. Yeah. Thank you so much letting me talk to you.
Fun.
Very interesting and fun. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Ja, hörni. Jag vet inte vad jag tycker om det här avsnittet. Det är väldigt stapplande. Det är ingens fel. För vi hade knappt pratat innan vi började prata. Och det var jättekul att få prata med henne. Men som lyssnare utomstående. Jag hoppas att ni fattade någonting. Och i alla fall tyckte att det var lite intressant. Men jag tvivlar på att det kommer bli många fler engelska avsnitt framöver. Ha det bra så länge. Glöm inte bort att boka barnvakt via heykido.se och njut av de svenska förmåner vi har. Tack och hej! Mami, mamacita. Alla mina blickar, de är dina. Klubben, den är hemma, du är iskall. Säg stopp!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.